Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today. We were looking at a question and a response, a question of Jesus and a response that Simon Peter gave to Jesus in the 16th chapter of Matthew, verses 16 through 19. Basically, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And some gave some answers, and then Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And they went on to say that upon this rock, this the Messiah, upon Jesus himself, he is the chief cornerstone. He was going to build his church. And the wonderful, wonderful promise that regardless of what it looks like, regardless of the persecution and the martyrdom of Christians, ever since that time, down through the centuries, even including our present age, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There are those who declared that the Bible would no longer exist, that it was going to be wiped out, and the Bible has continued to persevere and to continue to remain a fountainhead of truth, of God's love and reality to mankind. And so we know the end of the book. Evil will be vanquished, Jesus will be glorified, and he will set up his kingdom. And at the end of his kingdom, the heavens will be rolled up in the earth as a scroll, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. What a glorious age and time that is going to be, how we look forward to it. But as we look at our present situation over the centuries, you know, we are so limited as human beings, and even the most sincere, even the most committed in service to the Lord have, because of limited understanding, because of our attempts to understand a God who is so far beyond us, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him, Isaiah says. And so we've had denominations, we have different interpretations of doctrine, and these fences have separated us. And I just thank God that there are areas in the country, including this local area in which I'm living, where pastors, traditional evangelical, Pentecostal, messianic believers are coming together, and the leaders are praying at different churches for revival, for a coming together. And you know what? It's not based on doctrine. It's based upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where our agreement is. He is the Lord. He is Jesus. He is the Christ. And however you want to term Jesus, Joshua, Yeshua, it's the person, regardless of what language you use. Remember, I shared on yesterday's broadcast, there were people from all parts of the known world, and they heard the wonderful works of God in their own language. Whatever the term Jesus was, it was specific to their language. It doesn't make any difference. They're talking about the same person. So the term of who Jesus is, the actual word does not matter. We're talking about a person. We have majored on the minors, beloved, and we need to let the love of God join us. There is no capitulation on doctrine, on the truth of what the scriptures say. That's not what I'm talking about. But we have allowed divisions to separate the body of Christ. And it is God's desire. He said they will be one, and only the Spirit of the Lord can do it. this perfect man that Paul talks about in Ephesians, the giving a fivefold ministry until we all come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. We haven't come there yet, but the Spirit of the Lord is bringing us to that place. And we've made our Christian doctrine so laborious to multitudes of people that they simply faint at the mere thought of doctrine. And yet, as we look at the ministry of Jesus, he preached very simply to the people, yet it confounded the wisest of the wise because his teachings were of the Spirit and not according to the natural man. Through reasoning, we understand and learn knowledge. We read something. Our reasoning function grapples with it, our mind, and if it is acceptable, reasonable to the natural man, we're able to receive it and understand it. And then we can do something with it. We can consciously act on it or store it in our subconscious, if you will, as knowledge. However, if our reason cannot handle it or understand it, then our reason, our logic rejects it, and it doesn't become knowledge, and we're therefore unable to act on that information. It is rejected simply because we can't receive it. Remember, Jesus said, I have many things yet to tell you, but you're not able to receive it. That's why, praise God, the Holy Spirit was given. And anyone who is truly sincere, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In my own personal testimony, even though I rejected Christianity for 10 years, I was committed to truth. I really wanted truth. And that sincere search brought me full circle back to the reality that there is one God and there are three persons, and Jesus, yes, Jesus is the Savior. And so, praise God, Deuteronomy 7 and 9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. First Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The testimony of the writers of the scriptures in both Old and New Covenants abound with a single theme, the faithfulness of God. He's going to do it. He's going to build his church. He's going to perfect that which concerns you. No time is wasted in dwelling on the unfaithfulness of man, for every believer is quite well aware of the deceitful and desperately wicked heart within. And if we walk under its influence and in chains of unbelief, our only hope is the faithfulness of God. So often we can be defeated by a morbid introspection of the heart, and we mourn over our unbelief and our failure and our sin, when the source of victory is not to be found in our potential or hope of perfect obedience, but in the perfect faithfulness of God to us. We seem to forget that if we should succeed in doing all those things that are commanded of us, what did the Bible tells us? An honest heart would still force us to say we're unprofitable servants. Therefore, this message, this what I'm sharing, will be of no profit to those who are simply satisfied with their own steadfastness or feel that they are, you know, their own faithfulness, that they are doing what God has asked them to do. But we have to understand that it's the Lord that will give us hope when our soul is languishing in lethargy. And by the grace of God, God will bring us to worship and to praise him who is faithful, who keeps us in all of our ways. And it's only when, beloved, our heart is painfully aware of its own unworthiness, our own inabilities, and when we understand that God will hear and undertake in the deepest trials in which we go through, it's not doctrine that's going to give us the rest our heart desires and longs for, but it's a time for testimony of past experiences. Think of the times in your life when God brought his delivering grace in the midst of impossible circumstances. And of course, it was the remembrance of God's great faithfulness that brought courage to the heart of Jeremiah when his strength and his hope had perished from the Lord. And it's the constant rehearsal of God's past faithfulness to Israel that caused the psalmist to walk once more in the light of his countenance. If the disciples had considered the miracle of the loaves, their heart would not have been hardened by fearful unbelief in the midst of violent and contrary winds that threatened to destroy them. Remember, it was the faithful God who first revealed Jesus to you when you were dead in trespasses and sin and on your way to an eternity in hell. And so, therefore, beloved, it is by his continued faithfulness that he will meet your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus and faithfully perform the work of grace that he has begun in you until the day of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 4, 19, 1 and 6. And beloved, not only is God going to be faithful to provide for those spiritual and the needs that you have, to give you the revelation, to give you the understanding, so that you can move on from that pleasant present position that you hold, that you're walking in. As you walk in the light, he will increase that light. As you are willing to be submitted and humble before the Lord, as you walk softly before him, as you cry out for greater and greater revelation, as you ask him to enlarge the place of your tent, he will hear that cry. He will give you that grace to come into a new spiritual place. He'll move you on into higher ground. He is our God, and he's accomplishing that work, and not only your spiritual needs, but your material needs. What did Jesus say in Luke 12, 29, 31? Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Lord, we ask that you will enable us to do that, to seek your righteousness and your kingdom first. And Father, if we can put that as the forefront of our mind and our attention, we know in your goodness and faithfulness, you will indeed meet all of our needs. We thank you for it, Lord. Praise God. Well, beloved, this time is gone. It's been precious, but it's gone quickly, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me, and we'll see what the Lord has for us tomorrow. I love you, pray for you every day. I encourage you to write if you have prayer needs. Know that it is a sacred trust between you, the Lord, and myself, and I will intercede for you and believe God for those miracles that you need in your life. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,